Uh-oh. What do you want, Jessup?
You and me are gonna have it out one of these days, Morton. We're both gonna be in here a long time.
For the rest of our lives, if Arizona Territory gets its way.
Sooner or later, I'll get my chance to settle the score with you. I'll never forget what you've done to me.
I reckon not. You'll remember it every time you go to lay on that bad ear.
Oh, I'll do more than give you a bad ear. I'll twist your head right off of your shoulders, little man.
You couldn't do it before, and you can't do it now or any other time. The only way you could beat me is if you and Nash and probably two or three of your friends ganged up on me. That's the kind of coward you are.
You son of a bitch. You wouldn't talk so big if you didn't have your friends with you.
McCoy and Gideon don't have a damn thing to do with this. You start the ball, they'll stay out of it.
That's right, Morton. We won't take a hand if Nash doesn't. But maybe you better think about this anyway. Chessup's mighty big.
Yeah, but he's hollow inside. No guts, and no brains in his head either. I reckon they all leaked out when I tore his ear half off.
Frank saw rage flare in Jessup's piggish eyes and knew that he had finally pushed the big man too far. It had taken damn long enough, he thought, as Jessup rushed forward, swinging a sledgehammer fist. Jessup was consumed by fury now, and he wasn't thinking about the guards or anything else except battering his enemy's face into a crimson ruin. Frank ducked under Jessup's sweeping blow and stepped in to smash a right and left into the big man's belly. Hitting Jessup in the stomach wasn't quite as bad as punching that granite-like jaw, but his torso was overlaid with slabs of muscle, and Frank could tell that his blows didn't do much good. While Jessup was still off balance, Frank stomped on one of his feet as hard as he could. Jessup's frenzied response told Frank a lot. The bruiser had bad feet. That didn't really come as a surprise. Those feet had to carry around a lot of weight, and if the feet were bad, the knees might be too. Jessup recovered and came at him again, flailing another roundhouse punch. Frank moved with desperate speed, knowing that if one of those huge fists ever connected with all of Jessup's strength behind it, the fight would be over. As it was, the blow clipped the outside of Frank's shoulder and still had enough power to jolt him halfway around. He turned the movement to his advantage, spinning away from another charge. As he did so, he saw Nash standing there tensely with his fist clenched and knew the redhead was thinking about jumping into the fight. McCoy and Gideon were on their feet now, though, and Nash had to be recalling what the bank robber had said about staying out of the fight as long as he did. Nash held back.
Hey, break those two up!
Hey, you man, stop it! Keep breaking it!
Frank heard guards yelling, too, and knew that he had only seconds before they would arrive and break up the fight. If it was over now, the guards might not do anything except throw him in the dark cell. They might not even do that. He could wind up back in his regular cell, locked up there for weeks. He couldn't take that chance. Frank darted to the side again as Jessup lunged at him. The move put him to the giant's right. Frank leaned to his left, lifted his right foot, and drove the heel of his work shoe into the side of Jessup's knee as hard as he could. A Cajun gambler in New Orleans had taught him that move years ago, and while he hated fighting like a Frenchman, sometimes it worked. This time it did. Frank could have sworn that he heard something ripping inside Jessup's leg. Then he couldn't hear anything except the big man's agonized screams as Jessup collapsed and started rolling around on the ground, clutching his ruined knee. Frank tried to bear that in mind as one of the guards hammered a club across his back and knocked him to the ground. Several more of the blue-uniformed men closed in around him and hit him again and again. Frank didn't fight back, just lay there and absorbed the punishment they were dishing out, even though doing so went against the grain for him. Through the legs of the swarming guards, he caught glimpses of McCoy and Gideon standing there and watching the beating with grim looks on their faces. But they didn't make a move to interfere, and Frank was glad of that. He didn't want any complications.
Take him to the infirmary. We'll let the surgeon look him over, and then the warden will want to have a talk with him before we throw him in the dark cell.
If they had been paying any attention, the guards would have seen the grin that flickered briefly across Frank's bloody, battered face. His plan was working.